And now the conclusion of the Paul London interview on the Gerwick Report podcast. Check out parts one and two at www.gerweck.net.
Howdy, this is Paul London. I used to wrestle for the WWE, Tag Team Champion and Cruiserweight Champion. You're listening to the Gerwick Report with my friends Steve Gerwick and Frank D. Don't upset them, or I'll come find you. Thanks. Has that network package gone down in price since it first was introduced?
It's $9.99 a month, and that's how much it's been. But it was when you first started up, it was $9.99 for a six-month commitment. There is no more commitments anymore. It's just $9.99 a month. It's kind of like Netflix, pretty much. It's just a month-to-month.
I thought it started at like $30 a month, and now it's like dropped down to $9.
No, it was always $9.99. Just $9.99 a month for a six-month commitment.
But now they don't. Now they realize people don't want to make commitments.
Pretty much. I mean, I don't have the network right now. So.
Yeah.
It was basically $60 up front.
Yep.
For 6 months. Yeah, that's how it worked. Now it's just $9.99 any month you want to have it, including next month is WrestleMania, so you get WrestleMania for $9.99.
Okay, I'll just go to Hooters or something. If I give a shit.
You won't get the $9.99?
Ah. Come on, man. Plenty of good flicks coming out. The cinema. I'd rather pay to go to the cinema, to be honest with you. So yeah, it's I don't know. Good luck to them, I guess.
I heard Paul say he doesn't have...
They dust off, you know, to put on their network. We need more. No, we need some more network packages. Who else have we erased from our memory? Let's put on a China special.
He is the only one. Now, there's been a lot of wrestlers that's done a lot of crazy shit over the years, but
yeah,
nothing as extreme as that. Well, you know something, you know, Steve, I'm going to go with this one. This one's kind of old school, but there's a lot of evidence that proves that he did it. They only erased Jimmy Superfly Snuka from the history books, you know?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, like the hooker thing or something?
Yeah, his girlfriend. He supposedly, supposedly killed her. And then, you know, supposedly McMahon came in with a briefcase full of money to the NYPD or some shit like that.
I've heard similar rumblings. Oh, that's so funny. Yeah, that wouldn't surprise me at all.
Paul just brought up the hot button of China, all the controversy now with China. Maybe eventually they write her out of the history book as well.
Yeah, I mean, is there something currently going on with her now again, or is there, because I know she was doing classically trained acting for a while, and
you want to call it that?
You know, I was pretty excited. I was pretty excited about that.
Laying on her back.
Yeah. Well, I know a few of the guys have been in some of the videos with her. They're the dudes. But I think, you know, I think is she still teaching in Japan, I think?
Let's see. The last time I saw something about it, you know what? You probably don't know, so I'm just going to give it to you in a show. Pretty much, Triple H went on the Steve Austin show on the WWE Network, and Steve Austin asked him a question about China going into the Hall of Fame. So Triple H said that China absolutely deserves to go into the Hall of Fame, but we all know the real story about what happened there between the three parties. So he said that if an 8-year-old, he has an 8-year-old, if an 8-year-old Googles China, what are they going to find? They're going to find the porn, they're going to find all of this, they're going to find all of that, and it's true. But if you Google X-Pac, Sean Waltman, And I love Xbox Shot Woman. Don't do shit to him. But
sure.
If you Google him, what are you going to find? Hey, that One Night in China movie, hey, he was in that too.
Oh, really?
Right. That's the one.
I know he was in it, but I didn't know if you Google. Oh, wow.
Yeah, that's the one.
But, who gives a damn? What's wrong with pornography?
It's their corporate structure.
They're PG now. Jesus, come on.
But if you were to Google any damn
PG like, stands for pure goodies.
Pretty much. But you know, she made a comment about Triple H. She made a tweet about him after that. I mean, she went to Vince Russo's called Russo or some shit after the podcast, and basically said it was going to be a tell-all all about Triple H. So she said that Triple H assaulted her years ago. He assaults her now. And then this past weekend, after she put out that crazy video that I didn't see, I heard about it, though, Steve, of her trying to twerk. She put out...
She twerks?
Yeah. It's,
she tries.
It's
sweet. I got to see this.
Yeah.
Well, I know what I'm doing for lunch.
But she put a tweet out basically saying, "We don't want to talk about little boys, do we, Hunter?"
Oh, wow.
Right, so I'm thinking, okay, this broad's gone too far. Like, really?
Yeah.
Like, seriously, man? Like, seriously, Joni, China, whatever, you know, China doll, that story name or whatever. We really going to go there now? Because, okay, first of all, she said the bullshit about, well, Triple H assaults her. Listen, I've heard stories. I've been following Triple H's career since 95, all right? I've heard stories about the guy being jealous of talents. I've heard stories about the guy burying talents. We all remember the Triple H, you know, the Reign of Terror on Raw when he was world champion with Evolution. We all remember that. But I've never heard of Triple H assaulting a woman, and I damn sure don't know what the hell she's talking about, these allegations about little boys. She's got some really – she's the 5150. She's got some real mental problems.
Yeah, I say this. I don't know. I just put her in. Who cares? You know what I mean? Like, she obviously had an impact.
Now.
What's that?
She ain't going in now.
Well, maybe she can. I don't know. Maybe there's still hope for her at the UVMs. I don't know.
She was never going in. Let's be honest.
Exactly.
I mean, we know the history with Stephanie. She was never going to go in.
But is that really a reason to keep somebody from, you know, their accolades or whatever they did in your company, you know, like she made them tons of money and
what kept WWE from inducting Randy Savage until this year? What the hell was going on all those years with Randy Savage?
Yeah, no, you're right. I mean, I think, I think China will eventually.
Has...
Yeah. Well, I think it goes like they have their wish list of people that
they
want to induct.
Yeah,
but the thing is, they have this wish list, and I feel that every year they have to make it to, like, the Z list that they had, because all the other people just say no. Like, how many people have turned down wanting to be a part of the Hall of Fame, you know? And so you'll see people get inducted, like Pete Rose. Like, why the fuck is he inducted? In the, you know what I mean? Like,
Schwarzenegger.
You know, I think it's,
Schwarzenegger going in this year. What the hell would he ever do wrestling related?
Wasn't Drew Carey? Why was he? What is going on? So I guess Snooki will be inducted next. Sadly, she probably will get inducted ahead of China now, unfortunately. But I haven't kept up with any of the banter back and forth, so I don't know. But where is this Hall of Fame, anyways? You know, I mean, where are all these impressive halls? That's what I want to know. It's backyard of Stamford, Connecticut, backyard of the mansion where all the cement wrestlers who lost their souls to the McMahon family are all just giant chess pieces in the backyard, you know?
I'll tell you where it is. It's all in Vince's head. That's where it is. It's in his head.
Absolutely.
If he likes you, you're in. If he doesn't like you, he pees on you, so, you know.
That's true. You know, he's delusional. He is quite delusional. I used to have writers tell me that they would write me onto every show, and that the first thing that Vince would do whenever they would present the show at the writers' meeting was he would comb the whole show and find my name first and put a line through it.
Wow.
Yeah. So that was extremely motivating for me to want to continue working there. You know, So I sent him a fruit basket, and you know. So, no. I did used to steal candy. I did used to steal candy out of his office, though.
Well, you know what? You should send him a fruit basket for that muscle and fitness cover he did the other day.
Oh my God! Yeah, you should send a fruit basket to the Photoshop
publisher. Right. Yeah.
Yeah, honestly, you know, like, who's the editor on this thing? Like, who's wow, this is...
Whose body is that, really? Come on.
Yeah, honestly. Like, what in the world? This is, that's, yeah. The studio, that's, I haven't seen it, but I heard about it, and it just, sliding into the ring, man, blowing out both quads. Awesome.
I mean, Vince was in incredible shape back in the day, but lately, I mean, come on, really? Come on.
Yeah. What does that do for the rest of your company? You know what I mean? What does that say for the rest of your company? You know, when the boss is bigger than everybody. It's just bizarre.
He took on his talent. He did that podcast where he said Cesaro can't talk. So right. We just pee on our talent. That's how you get guys over. You just pee on everybody.
Well, he's Swiss. Cesaro is Swiss. So that's why he would never get over.
He still works there, though, yeah? I mean, Cesaro, I heard he's kind of in a doghouse or something right now.
Tag team straps last night, but the tag team belts don't really mean a damn thing, so it doesn't matter.
Oh, cool. Good for him. He's a great guy.
Yeah, he's awesome.
Yeah, he's fantastic.
Which is why he's not going to make it. He's awesome.
Yeah, it's weird. You know, I had the late Chris Canyon. He came up to me early on when I was up there, and he's like, what are you doing here? And I thought, you know, this is where I want to be. This is the world. And he's like, you're too good to be here. Like, you're too good of a person to be here. Like, I don't see you being here that long. And I was like, gee, thanks, you know. I'll never forget that. I just remember, and he was one of the sweetest people I've ever met. So I mean, he was great. Just like a genuine kindness to him, you know. So that was something I took as a feather in my cap. It was neat, but I didn't understand it at the time, you know, and so later on, it was like, now I see what you meant. What am I doing here? These people are animals. In the bad way, you know what I mean? I'd rather be with real animals as opposed to these fucking paneers walking around. It's Twilight Zone, man. It was a good fun ride, you know. I got a lot of great experiences out of it, and it, you know, taught me a lot. So I'm grateful for it in that regard.
What did you think when they ended the Undertaker's winning streak at WrestleMania?
I don't know. I mean, who knows? I guess it was. I'm glad it was Brock. I'll say that. I was glad it was Brock. But boy, I don't know. I would have. You know, like, do you think I was done because Undertaker's like such a MMA fan, or? They thought, if I'm going to lose anybody, it would be this one credible guy. Like, you know, it's bizarre, you know. Like, who wants to see a dead man wearing MMA gloves? It's strange, right?
You said it right there.
I mean, you don't watch The Walking Dead and, like, you know, these zombies are showing up with, like, bulletproof vests and stuff. Like, I don't
know. You know what? It's funny you mention that, Paul, because I have not been a fan of Undertaker's gimmick for years. So like when I was a kid, you know, it scared the hell out of me. But, you know, my favorite Undertaker would be the 99 Undertaker with the Minister of Darkness. That was my favorite.
Okay.
And then when he became...
With the Scott Ian chin beard?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So that was my favorite. When he came back as the Dead Man at WrestleMania 20 with, you know, Paul Bearer, you know, bless his soul, you know, here's the thing. I didn't know what the hell it was. Was it Big Evil still, or what?
Oh, you're talking about the Johnny Cash phase?
Exactly, yeah. So I'm like, man, like...
And
then the Mohawk at WrestleMania, I don't know what the reason why Taker cut his hair off, but I'm just not feeling it. There's rumors that he's coming back this year, but lately Taker's been looking like Doc Brown from Back to the Future. So
oh, wow.
I'm not digging it, man.
Wow. Yeah, I don't know. I mean... I still think they should do a sequel to Suburban Commando, personally. I'd like to see Taker reprise his role in that film.
He was good in that.
Yeah.
I mean, I thought so too. Hogan's better movies with Suburban Commando.
I agree. I totally agree. I was a fan of the pasty skin Taker that sat up and actually believed that he was dead as opposed to just kind of, you know, playing the hits that he knows has to play to get through the day. So I respect the guy. I think he's an amazing talent. Obviously, he's obviously a figure stone of wrestling and is probably, or I mean, he's already in the Hall of Fame as far as I'm concerned.
Right.
But yeah, I mean, how do you transition out of that persona into something that's palatable to the audience that grew up watching him as this and now sees him? You know, you don't want to tarnish your legacy, I guess. And I think, you know, I think Flair was at risk of doing that when he was a TNA. But then again, if you look at it all in all, I mean, truth is, I mean, who the fuck am I to be saying about any of this shit, you know? Because, I mean, all these guys have their legacy regardless, the good and the bad. All goes into their legacy, you know? So when people are like, oh, it's tarnished their legacy, it's, yeah, but at the same time, I mean, they're still active and breathing, and if that contributes to the world of professional wrestling in any way, then, you know, that's still a positive in my opinion, just because they're not dead. And, you know, they're still somewhat resembling of, you know, the great times that we remembered. You know, there's still some of those threads in there. But I just would rather just not watch, you know. I'd rather remember Michael Jordan when he was, you know, hitting game winners and try to look at him now as like an owner of a horrible franchise, you know.
Right. What do you think about Sting finally coming over to WWE after all these years? And my second question is going to be, what's your thoughts on Samoa Joe leaving TNA, and where do you think he's going to end up?
Samoa. let me see. I am the Great Islands of Samoa. Sorry, he can pick whichever one he wants. I think great for Joe. Now he gets a chance to make even more money because people are going to just be banging down his door. I think Joe's awesome. So, you know, good on him. I'm glad he got out of whatever situation he was in.
Well, here's one thing, Paul. Supposedly they want him to do an NXT tryout. Like they don't know who Samoa Joe is. They need to send him to NXT.
You're kidding me.
No, I'm not kidding.
Wow.
You.
Wow.
This is the mentality of WWE these days. We're going to take Samoa Joe, who had this 10-year run in TNA, won every title they had. People know him in Ring of Honor. They know him internationally. Okay, we're going to send you to NXT. Maybe have a tryout.
Well, I'm predicting his name right now will be switched. And this is, we have Zack Snyder to thank for this, for releasing the Aquaman photo this past week. I don't know if you've seen that or kept up with it. But for the Batman versus Superman film coming out in 2016, Zack Snyder recently released a picture of Jason Momoa as Aquaman, because Aquaman will be in that film as well, and he'll go on and make his own franchise. But I'm predicting right now that due to the popularity of Jason Momoa, they're going to change Samoa Joe's name to Momoa Joe.
Wow.
Wow.
That's money.
Momoa Joe. I think they're gonna try and harp on the success of Jason Momoa, and they're gonna turn him into Momoa Joe.
That's funny.
Sorry, that's my crappy 2 cents. Joe's a real prideful guy, and so but I know he already lives in Florida, so I think if he'll make that decision, I guess, as he sees best fit. But you know, I've never met him. I don't know him very well.
He lives in Texas.
Does he really?
Yeah.
Oh, that's bizarre. Teddy Hart lives here too now, apparently. I just learned that yesterday. No idea. Anyways, it's weird. Because, I mean, this was a guy I think that was, like, really waving the banner of I'll never work for Vince and I'll never jump to that side. And it makes you wonder, like, well, what? You know, did they just raise the price, or did they, you know, it's bizarre. I don't know. I don't know that I like it as much as it just appears to me like a creator wrestler on a video game. You know what I mean? It's like,
right.
Well, we can just put Sting in this game now, you know? Whoa. Yeah. I guess I don't watch enough of it to have much of an opinion on it, but I think if fans are excited about it, then that's a good thing. Because anything that can elevate the audience's excitement or enthusiasm for what they're watching, I'm all for it. So, you know, that's really the way to indicate it. Has the audience received him well, or is it, you know, has it been...
I think that they have. I think that there's a lot of people, because WWE has this, the younger fans watch now, that necessarily don't know who Sting is, and that's a great tool for the WWE Network to come into play, because they can actually go back and go see Sting in his heyday in the WCW and see, Triple H has done a good job of really establishing who Sting is and really making the fact that Sting is and was WCW. And they've done a great job with that. Now, the only problem I think people have has been really people get about Sting's age. I don't give a shit about Sting's age. I'm just glad that the guy's out there doing it. If you can talk about Sting's age, you got to talk about Flair. You know, if you got to talk about Flair, you got to talk about Hogan. You got to talk about anybody that's over 50, pretty
Undertaker.
Much. Undertaker. Undertaker, exactly.
Yeah.
So you got to bring that up. And
he's like 150.
He's been looking like it, dude. I'm just being honest. He's been looking like it. But that's one of the things.
I think Vince wants to be in Expendables 4. That's his goal.
Yeah, well, Vince says he'll never die.
We'll see about that.
Right. So I think that he's been received well by the fans. I think he's gonna get received. I mean, because he's only made sporadic appearances. I think his contract only like 6 appearances for WWE. So he's only been there a couple of times, but it's a big deal when he shows up. And I think that, you know, I don't necessarily know if people necessarily want to see him wrestle Triple H. I think the match people want to see was him versus Taker. And they're not doing that. They're going to go Triple H versus Sting at Mania this year. And probably Taker versus Bray Wyatt at Mania this year. So that's where we're going with that. Yeah.
If they were smart, they would book Batista versus The Rock in a box office bonanza bash.
Right.
I was just curious because, I mean, like, in my estimation, the cinema is as global as it gets, and they seem to drop the ball with Batista's return, right? Because they didn't really – I'm not sure what happened there, but it seemed as though people weren't too keen on it. But I'm sitting there thinking, but this guy is going to soon be more globally recognized than he ever has been, especially with the inclusion of him as the main villain in the next Bond film.
Right.
And so I was just curious, you know, just because it seems like if they blundered something like that with a guy who was already a part of the company prior and was a champion and was loved in Batista, I guess I wouldn't have much faith in them being able to educate the current fans in a positive way to educate them on who Sting is. And I would think, I don't know, maybe Sting and Batista are in the same age realm. I think they are. I just don't keep up with it enough to have a strong opinion on it, but I don't know if Sting still works the way that he does. I mean, the last Sting match I saw, to be honest with you, was his, like, 30-second match with Jeff Hardy. It was something I saw on YouTube, where it was, like, all messed up. But, like, that was the main event of the TNA pay-per-view or something.
Yeah, Jeff Hardy.
Yeah. And I mean, but Sting looked totally. I think he'll be fine as long as Sting will be great as long as he doesn't take several years to jump on a villainous character that is portrayed through Hollywood.
Yeah, I get you.
His Joker character in TNA was almost like career suicide.
Yeah,
I mean, like
that was
like
bad.
Someone needs to take Sting to the cinema before letting him loose on Redbox. You know what I mean?
Yeah, that was bad. I did not like that at all. I'm glad that we're finally with Sting and WWE. We're finally back to basics, pretty much with the Crow character. I mean, I don't know how it's gonna.
I want White Trash Sting back. I want White Trash Sting back with the curly mullet rat tail, the white rat tail, the blonde rat tail. I want that. Yeah, I want Daytona Beach Sting back.
But you know, you're talking about Batista real quick. But you know,
yeah.
the thing that botched Batista coming back was that Batista came back at the wrong time. Batista came back during the Bryan Danielson phenomenon.
Oh, okay, I see. They just rushed him out there.
Exactly. He got put in the wrong place. It's kind of like right now, Steve, what's going on right now? I mean, they're pushing Roman Reigns, but the people want Daniel Bryan.
Yeah. Yeah, they've been wanting Daniel for a while. Yeah, right?
Yeah, that's right. Yes.
Well, the company is, I mean, they should have a wrestler named Force Feed.
Yeah.
I guess they did in Ryback for a while, right? Because Feed Me More, I mean, it's like force feeding the audience. Like that, they don't want to be force fed shit, you know? I mean, it's, they have their opinions, and, you know, you would think, you know, if McDonald's keeps putting out this experimental prawn burger that nobody wants to eat because they love, you know, the double quarter pounder, whatever. I mean, you don't see McDonald's making the prawn burger like their new go-to, you know, like they listen to their audience. You know what I mean? Like, oh, well, these aren't selling so well. We should probably discontinue this line. But again, I think it's just like that weird corporate ego where it's like, we know what's best. Don't worry. We know. No, they don't mean that. No, those boos are really cheers. Come on. They love you. They love you. Yeah. Like, come on, man. What show are you watching?
When The Rock couldn't even save him at the Rumble last month.
Oh, rough. I didn't know that.
Yeah, that said it all right there, that people are not – I mean, The Rock, you know what I'm saying? The Rock. He came out there, and I knew why he was out there. It was to just try to give this guy a rub, and they booed the hell out of it. And I'm just not
– Well, unfortunately for a guy like The Rock and Batista, I mean, they're going to be in situations where guys are going to question their loyalty.
Yes.
And it's tough for them to be brought in at times because of their shooting schedules. And so, you know, that block of whatever time Batista had might have been the only time he had open, you know, depending on what his shooting schedule was. And so, like, that's a rough thing to juggle as well, I'm sure. Especially when you have these bloodhounds, like, they'd be like, we got to just squeeze as much as we can out of them and get as much as we can out of them as soon as possible. Ratings. And then it just backfires. So, you know, but man, I'm excited for Batista. I think he's awesome. He's awesome.
I don't think the guy. I mean, hell, you know what? If you're going out there and he did the Guardians of the Galaxy movie, and everybody thought that movie was gonna bomb, and it actually was doing better box office than The Rock's Hercules. I mean,
oh, are you kidding me? Yeah, and then the next Bond film, the fact that he's the villain in a Bond film, and not to mention he's playing Tong Po in the Kickboxer remake.
Right.
They finished shooting. Yeah.
Do you think he really gives two shits about going back to WWE right now?
No.
He's not.
Why should he?
Yeah.
Are you kidding me? I'm happy for him. He's great. He's a great dude. And he does everything with his heart, too. So, man, I'm happy for Dave. But yeah, I don't know. I might watch some stuff, but all I'll really ever really dabble on is just some NXT snippets here and there. I'll keep up with my friends, you know, like Sammy, Zayn, and Kevin Owens, and Finn Balor, and these names that I'm trying to remember. The names they've been switched to, but look out. Be on the lookout for Momoa Joe, I'm telling you. Momoa Joe is going to hit the scene soon.
After his tryout, actually, maybe Tico Siam, if he tries out for him.
Yeah, as long as they don't have Terry from The Office call him.
Who's this Momoa Joe guy? Huh.
Yeah. Let's put a net on you and give you a trident. I actually tried to get a trident over backstage at one time. I was bringing a real trident backstage, and I never quite was able to get that one over. Stephanie loved it, but I think that's why Triple H buried it. And because I threatened him with a trident at one time, jokingly, but I think he thought I was serious. That probably didn't help that I told him I thought Blade 3 was terrible. While lunging the trident at him, saying this.
Yeah, that movie sucked.
It was horrible, yeah. I went through a trident phase myself, so it was fun. I still have it somewhere. It's pretty cool. Tridents are really underrated, as are nets. I was thinking about bringing a throwing net to the ring with me as just part of my weaponry. I realized I'd get disqualified, so that was short-lived.
You're so creative.
Yeah, so... You know, it can be a downfall at times. when you're around others. But
I've heard that about you. This.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, not everyone likes my creativity. It's not for everyone, I should say. But if you're keen to find out what's... The only social media I do is Twitter. I still have people come up to me, I offended you. Well, don't know who that was. It wasn't me, but hopefully they friend you back. But yeah, I'm only on Twitter. I'm at LondonFoo, LondonFu. That's where anyone can kind of keep up with my latest adventures.
Is this the dullest period in wrestling that you can remember?
The dullest?
Yeah, dullest.
No, I think the dullest was when I was there. There was a dull period like in 2000. No, there was a dull period in 95. You remember there was kind of like a dull period in 95, like during like the Doc Dean days and all the Montoya and all that stuff. I love that stuff. That stuff was exciting for me, but I think for like business wise, that was a low period for them. Which I thought was phenomenal. But I honestly do think that there was a lull period when I was there. I mean, I really do. And I think that's why there were so many changes, is because there was just so much shit being thrown on the wall because they didn't know what would stick. And it was just like, we gotta fix stuff. We gotta change stuff. We gotta really shift ourselves to try and gain corporate sponsorships. And da 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 da. Now, mind you, we won't enhance the quality of our show writing to hopefully gain those corporate endorsements. But we're gonna make all of our talent dress like cheap car salesmen. And we're going to really enhance the product's image, you know. And I think it was just such a feeling out period that they're probably still doing. I mean, they're constantly trying, you know, grasping at straws, I guess. But I was there, I think, sort of a real lull. I really do. I really think it was an odd period to be in wrestling. I mean, a lot of people look at it as an exciting time, but who knows? I feel like it was a low point in a way, where they were just, well, part of them wanted to hang on to tradition, but there was this other part that wanted to really kind of burst into something new, and it didn't mesh well. As far as there was a lot of confusion in how they wanted to define themselves. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, I think you said in the last interview we did that a lot of the wrestling today is unwatchable. The shows are unwatchable.
Sure.
That's just kind of how I feel. I mean, there was a pay-per-view last night on the WWE Network, Fastlane, which they got rid of the Elimination Chamber for Fastlane. What a catchy name that is. But
they had
this show, and it wasn't a bad show. I mean, I can't say it was horrible wrestling. The wrestling wasn't bad. It's just from entertainment value, it just was just there. It just didn't grip me.
There.
I think you were just talking about like TV in general, that it doesn't grip you. And that's how I feel.
Sure.
Not just in wrestling. I mean, a lot of the TV shows and things on Netflix, and a lot of it doesn't grab me, but I just think in wrestling in general, you know, TNA, even Ring of Honor to a certain degree, I watch it and it's okay. It's there, but it doesn't make me want to watch it the next day.
It's too safe. You know? It's too safe. It's too safe. Nobody wants to take risks anymore. You know, I mean, Hollywood's not that much different, I think, in the sense that there's so many remakes and redos and, you know, repurchasing of franchises and really trying to refranchise things. And instead of really, I prefer independent cinema, just because, you know, that's where the real filmmakers are really still, they have a voice. Well, I think that's the same with independence in wrestling. There's not a whole lot of restraint on these guys. And so the hunger has no limit to it, has no cap on it. And so when you take TV wrestling, it's overproduced. I think it's another problem. It's overproduced. You know, it's anything but raw. I make the joke that it should be called Monday Night Overcooked. And,
yeah.
You know what I mean?
Frank and I said this before. What is raw about raw?
There's nothing raw about it.
Nothing.
Are you kidding me?
Nothing.
At all. I mean, it's so overproduced. I mean, even the guardrails look fake. You know what I mean? We had these giant futuristic padded barriers, and there's no threat. There's no danger. The fans are safe. There's no. It's so over-controlled and over-regulated that there's no risk, and so there's no adrenaline rush through that. You know, there's no sense of urgency to that. There's no danger. Not saying that the fans should have their lives put in danger, but you want to be a part of an experience, and And then it just becomes too much of a spectacle. And I think that's why the audience can become very critical as well, because then they start to play judges. Because, well, they're fine from wherever they're sitting. I mean, there's nothing that's going to happen that's going to make them really feel that, you know, question why they came, or, oh, they might question why they came when they're bored, but they, it should be an experience. You know, you should really, your adrenaline should pump, your heart rate should increase. And I think that a lot of that happens naturally and organically when risks are taken. But when you're really, I just think it falls into its own pattern, and the pattern is safe. And unfortunately, when that happens, the shows that appear in these pay-per-views are no different than the matches that you see the next night for free.
True.
And I think that turns a lot of people off. Why am I paying for this pay-per-view when I'm going to see the rematch for free the next day? I just read about all the spoilers. You know what I mean? Just, what are you giving your audience? You know, if it's not special and it's not spicy and risky.
Watch
it.
Really?
At all. Yeah.
I know.
You know, it's just, they're spitting it out, apparently. So, but, you know, hopefully this thing with, like, Lucha Underground will be something that will raise a different viewpoint on how wrestling should be produced. I've only caught a little bit of it, but they're still obviously going to be always fighting an uphill battle, especially from just being on such a small network out of LA and all that stuff. So I think I need to watch some more of their stuff, but a little hokey, I think, but fun and different. But they're taking risks, you know, like they're risking trying something completely different in the way it looks. And everything. So I don't know. I commend them for that. I think I just think there need to be more risks taken.
Well, I know you were plugging your social media. Do you have anything, any dates or anything you want to plug coming up, where you're going to be?
Not at the moment. I mean, I believe I'll be back up in Brooklyn for FWE on March 11th. But most of my dates that I pepper out there, I'll put out through Twitter at London Foo. If you're bored and you want to go on YouTube and type in Hero of the Prophecy, that's a little project that my brother and I have been working on. We have another one soon to be out. That's a video. It's basically a realm, a world that we're creating, where I'm bringing wrestlers into this take on my world, where I've been transported to this foreign land by an owl wizard to help fight against the tyrannical wizard himself. And I'm bringing in wrestlers to play these different characters and kind of a Beastmaster type of world. But we've been putting together a few sizzle reels so we can start pitching to investors when they're all done. And but if you get bored, Hero of the Prophecy on YouTube. It's just a silly little snippet, but there'll be more of that coming out soon. And I'll put all that stuff out on Twitter as well. But yeah, other than that, you can find me on Brazzers.com. No, I'm kidding. Yeah, inside the actor's studio. I guess it wouldn't be the studio; it'd be inside the actor's something else. But Twitter's my main outlet. I don't like to give away too much, but I like to have somewhere to put out anything if I need to. I have a birthday party I think I'm going to on Thursday. Everyone's invited, of course. So, you know, it sounds good. No, but I know it's been seems kind of small, but yeah, everything I do I put out through Twitter, unfortunately. I don't have a Facebook, and I probably won't anytime.
So if there's a Paul London on Facebook, it's a fake.
It is. It
yes.
is a fake. And I have just
it's
now
not
experienced.
The real Paul London.
It's not. But what's bizarre is I'm experiencing deja vu as we're speaking right now. And that's pretty cool. I haven't had deja vu in quite a while. But sitting here and speaking with you guys and everything that I'm experiencing right now is it's hitting me. It's kind of strange.
Awesome. Well,
I'm wondering what all this means. That's what I'm getting at. I'm wondering what all this means.
Well, if you figure it out, let me know.
I will. I shall. I'll definitely let you guys know. And if you'll figure out why China absolutely will not be inducted into the Hall of Fame, let me know, because I'm perplexed still. And, you know, she got my vote.
my vote and Frank's vote as well. I think we know why she won't. Yeah, definitely. Always a blast talking to you, and I'm sure we'll hook up again sometime in the near future.
Yeah, I hope so, guys. Thanks for the time, and thanks for letting me come on and just spew out my thoughts a little bit. Hello, Earthlings. This is Paul London, the Intrepid Traveler, former champion of tag team and cruiserweight circles in the world of wrestling that is entertaining. You're listening to the Gerwick Report with Earthling Steve Gerwick and other Earthling Frank D. Continue to listen, or you will be zapped out of eternity. Goodbye.
Yo, what's up out there? This is Frank D. of the GRP, the Gerwick Report Podcast. And if you want to represent the GRP, you want to show your support to Gerwick.net, all you got to do is get the official t-shirt. Go to ProWrestlingTees.com right now, type in Gerwick in the search bar, and get one of our three designs. We got the Nitro-style GRP logo shirt, we got the Raw-style GRP logo shirt, and my favorite, because it's just too sweet, it's a black and white NWO-style GRP shirt. They're all $19.95 plus shipping and handling. So go to ProWrestlingTees.com, type in Gerwick in the search bar, and get yours today. And show your support and represent the GRP crew. Gerwick.net. Get your shirt today.
If you enjoyed today's Gerwick Report podcast, we encourage you to go to Gerwick.net at www.gerwick.net, your source on the World Wide Web for all your pro wrestling news since 1997. You can also find all the archives of previous editions of the Gerwick Report podcast there. Additionally, check out our Facebook discussion group at facebook.com/groups/Gerwick Report. We're on Twitter at Gerwick Report. You can follow us on YouTube, our YouTube channel at Gerwick Report on YouTube. Find us on Stitcher, on Spreaker, on TuneIn. Check us out on Instagram. And we appreciate your support here at Gerwick.net and the Gerwick Report podcast. Again, check out all your wrestling news at Gerwick.net and stay tuned for the next edition of the Gerwick Report podcast.